Praise God. I thought about it. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just praise you and we glorify you right now for all things that you're doing in us, through us, and with us, Lord. We praise you for that. Lord, you have given us all things to do this walk that you've got us in. You've given us every promise that we need. You've given us everything that we need. And Lord, I ask and I pray that we utilize the whole gamut of things that it takes to get us to where you want us to be, Father. And I ask, Lord, that we would pray and ask you where you want us, what you want us to do, and how you want us to do it. And Father, I praise you for your leading of your Holy Spirit to do that. And Lord, I thank you for instant recall in our memories, to recall the scriptures and the things to say that you're going to lead us into in the days ahead. And I praise you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to fear anything as long as we're listening to you every day, getting our instructions from you every day. And I thank you, Lord, for every one of us drawing nigh unto you and listening to you and hearing from you the things that you have us to do. Thank you, Lord, for your leading in our day-to-day walk with you. And Father, I thank you for an open heaven that you've given us, that when the things that we pray, Father God, are instantly acted on. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that you've already answered for. So many, so many. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that it's not going to be any different tonight. That when we pray, we know that our prayers are answered. We believe the things that we pray are coming to pass, have already come to pass because your word says it. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. We thank you, Father, for this coming man-child ministry upon the scene, Lord, to lead the bride into the wilderness. And not only that, Lord, it's going to be some mighty, mighty fine teaching going on here to the apostate religion people that have come out of them. And I praise you for it, Father, and I thank you, Lord, for this man-child ministry and the bride behind it. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in each and every one of us. Give us everything. Show us, Lord, anything that's in us that is hindering us from doing our absolute best for you. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing for all of us. And Lord, I just thank you for your encouragement of the things that you're doing here locally. And on the outreach also. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the time's coming ahead. And it's going to be a mighty, mighty great time in the spiritual for your people. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lots fixing to happen. Be ready. Be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. Glory to God. Always be ready. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Nobody? Yeah, Ben. Go ahead, brother.
Well, just a bit of prayer and a bit of a confession. Been watching a little bit too much YouTube again lately, and just wondering if I can get some a prayer just to cleanse what I've been watching. He's been showing me stuff through it, and he's been showing me dreams about it and all that, so I'm taking it all as a learning curve, which is good, and I'm thankful for it, but I just want any of the bad juju that's been coming off of it to get off me now.
Okay. All right. Well,
so,
Lord, we thank you.
If someone could pray for me.
Okay. Can y'all hear me? Okay, good. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your cleansing power right now going through Benjamin to cleanse out all the old flesh things that he's looked at on YouTube. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that anything coming from the YouTube is worldly. And most of it is. And Father, we thank you for cleansing him of all things that aren't of you, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Father, that he's already confessed it. He's been distracted. And Lord, we thank you that he's back on the road again, the holiness route.
Father.
And we praise you, Father, that he's going to stay in the Word, be in the Word, and be the Word. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Benjamin. In Jesus' name. Hold on. Go ahead. Somebody, I got to catch. Go ahead, Andrew.
I'd like the same prayer.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we thank you for this confession. We praise you, Father, for the sanctification that you're going to do in both of them. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Father, and I'm going to pray for everybody. And Lord, I thank you that distractions are no longer a problem in this fellowship. In Jesus' name, and we praise you and glorify you, Father, for completely taking away the world from us, Lord. We don't have anything in it. We don't walk in it anymore. All we want, Lord, is your leading and your guiding every day. And when we wake up in the morning, we pop out of bed and start praising you for the whole day, Lord. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that anything from the world that has tried to attach itself to any of us, I command it to be gone right now in Jesus' name. Be gone, I say, in Jesus' name. Be whole and be healed in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for cleansing all of us from that scourge called YouTube. And I praise you for it, Father. There are some good things on there, Christian things, but Lord, for the most part, we kind of get distracted when we look to the right there and see down the road there. There's some things that look pretty good. I want to see what that is. Lord, just take it out of us in Jesus' name. Take it completely out of us. And I praise you for doing that, Father, in Jesus' name. That's me included. Everybody in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your cleansing power. Rushing through this fellowship right now, cleansing us of all of that. And we praise you for it, Father, because we're coming right up to the bar here, so to speak. Well, we can't have distractions. We just want to be with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody receive that? Amen.
Amen.
That just confirms that I'd like to pray this prayer if I can. I'm going to pray this prayer. It won't take long. It's, my Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, I'm going to conclude everybody. We have received eternal life. We've received your nature, and it's made us one with you, and it's made us what you have declared that we are in Christ. And as the branch is to the vine, we are yours and you are ours. Our heart sings this song of utter oneness with you, our Father. Of utter oneness with you, our Lord. Your nature is love, so our nature is love. Out from our inner being flows love to all mankind. We are, like you, a lover. And through this, and through us, this love stream flows unhindered. You are the fountain within us, a fountain of perfect health and vibrant life. This life stream fills us with health and joy. Our body is your home. one of the Holy of Holies, where you are not hidden but made visible, glory to God. It is the home of health, the home of love. You have made him, our risen Lord, our wisdom. At last, we know how to use revelation knowledge. We know how to use sense knowledge. And our union with you makes us a master of circumstances, for we have learned how to let you have your freedom in us and let you put your very self in us. This has freed us from the old realm of fear and doubt, glory to God. Jesus has given us the power of attorney, a legal right to use his name so that we can act for him, take his place, do the work that he did, and carry on the works he started. Your ability has become our ability. Your grace has taken us over. We are the slave of your love. It has overmastered us, and we have become a love slave of your Son. You are living in us and through us. Your life and your love nature dominate us, because you are the strength of our life. And this life is like a fountain within us. We remember what the Master said in John chapter 7 and verse 38, that out from our inner life shall gush torrents of living water. That's been our dream, that we might be a little fountain through which you can pour your very life daily through us to bless this arid desert world. We have come to know the reality of the verse, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. You mighty lover God, we give you your place in us. You mighty Father God, do your creative work through us and be unhindered in our life. That is our prayer, Father God. What grace you have unveiled to let us use your living word. In our lips, your words become healing words, faith-giving words, and life-giving words. Arise, our Father, and be big in us. How many times our heart has cried that you might be a God-sized God in us, so that you could pour your very self through us in words and actions, that every part of our being would be under your direction, glory to God. Yes, Lord. And we don't ask for healing, for by his stripes we are already healed. We don't ask for strength, because he is the strength of our life. And we don't ask to be filled, for he is my fullness. And we don't ask for righteousness, because we are his righteousness in Christ. And we don't ask for power, as he is in us, and all power is in us now. We are planning on his ability in us, on his love nature governing us, and on his wisdom as a lamp to guide us into all truth. We're letting you loose in us. We are letting you use our ability and speak through our lips and heal through our hands. We are filled with your fullness, and your wisdom and love are ours. Love's gentleness and greatness are all ours. Your own tender steadfastness has become a part of us. We are resting in your rest. Your very peace holds us quiet. We are yours, and you are ours. Life is big with you in it. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And I receive all of that for myself and for my brothers and sisters. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Did you have something, Missy? Oh, there you go. Okay, you finally got it up there. Look at you.
I learned to raise my hand. I want to sing just a little piece of this song, and y'all know it, but I want to sing it for all of us.
Okay, go ahead.
It just complements what Michael just read. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, overcomer. Yeah, I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, overcomer. More than a conqueror, I'm a winner. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I have dominion and I walk in authority. I've been washed in his blood, kept by his love, filled with his spirit, and by his stripes I'm healed. I'm free. Jesus gave me the victory. Thank you, Jesus. You said it is done, it is finished. We praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord, for overcomers by the blood
Amen.
Of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Praise you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Missy. Go ahead, Benjamin.
The Lord reminded me of something that I kind of wanted to bring up. So my brother-in-law, he had an addiction to marijuana and he had to go to rehab and all that. And I just saw recently on a Facebook post that he's growing his own marijuana plants now. And they're all full into fruition and everything. So, I don't think he's as addicted as he used to be. Praise God for that. But I want those plants to be out of his house. And I've prayed against that and I've prayed against his obsession with it because he has a very addictive personality. So, Father, I come to you again from my brother-in-law, Zachariah. I pray that those plants that he's growing, I pray that they wither and die. I pray that no marijuana plants grow in that house and any other plants that they have thrive so they can see that there's something wrong with those plants and that that type of plant shouldn't be brought into their house. Father God, I pray against this obsession over marijuana. Father God, I pray that he is released from this curse that is upon him. Father God, I pray healing on his soul and on his spirit to be open to you again, to give him a born again spirit, to walk in spirit, to walk in holiness with you, Father. Father, I thank you for the little bit of knowledge that you've given him. Just help him walk in it, Father. And I pray that my sister follows him in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. It's done. Praise God. Hey, Josie, anybody else? Well, it looks like things may happen here very soon. Possibly this next month. Real possibility. Be sure you're ready. Make sure y'all been listening to David's broadcast, haven't you, about the earthquakes? That's what I'm talking about. I'm thinking this thing is going to happen very quickly. And it's got to, you know, with the man-child anointing and the tribulation. But boy, oh boy, when the man child comes, glory to God, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, Missy. Don't
Is
ask something you shouldn't.
David going to share more on I'm just asking, is David going to share more on that and what you just said?
You when? Tomorrow?
Like, well, no, like Bible study or whenever. Well, maybe tomorrow, whatever, yeah. Wednesday tomorrow.
I've talked to him about this, but I haven't talked to him about what he's going to share. I will tell you
okay.
this.
Well, I'm just wondering if.
I don't know. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay, I wonder because I keep getting stepped on. I just didn't know if I was getting out at the right time or is it a delay? Yeah, Julie.
Yeah, there's a delay. I don't know if it's my audio or if it's me on my internet end or yours.
Okay.
But there's a little bit of a delay.
Okay.
I noticed earlier, Michael, when you were talking that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I
You've already
earlier
interrupted
when you were
me. Yeah.
talking, like your words went wrong. That it was like Lord, help us. We command Michael's internet to be the speed that it's supposed to be and not delay and not
is this
cut
better?
Out and it working yeah. perfectly fine.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I watch my lips. Is my voice in tune with it now? No? Yes? Okay. All right, Phil, go ahead. Thank you, brother, for getting me out of this. We ain't hearing nothing. Put your headset back on. Hi, Lana.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yep. Thanks. Yeah, I was pondering this question about the seventh spirit of God.
No, your audio is bad. Speak in English.
How's this?
Oh, that's much better.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let me say it the third time. The seven spirits of God in Revelation. Is this something that we get when we receive the Holy Spirit, those seven spirits of the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of understanding, all those seven, Spirit of wisdom? Or is this each one we have to seek individually and then receive over time? You know, like I was reading Revelation and for some reason I've never noticed that there was the seven spirits of God written there until a couple of days ago. And it just kind of piqued my curiosity. And I was wondering if anybody had insights.
That's a good question. We can talk about it. Does anybody have an idea? Go ahead, Patrick. You're right there, see? I mean, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I can. Okay. Because I can't hear myself. I got these. I always took. I don't like this. Give me just a second here. How about now?
Sure.
Did it change at all from before till just now? No? Okay, it's just me. I always took the seven spirits Can you hear me, Michael?
I can hear you. You might continue.
Boy, that is a delay, isn't it?
Is it?
Okay.
Have I still got a delay?
Not no. more than a second or two.
All right, just continue.
I always took that when I read that, because you can see the messages to the seven churches as well in the beginning of Revelation. And I guess how I took that, whether this is right or wrong, is that we have the Holy Spirit of God and we have it all within us because He is in us. However, I believe that we as individuals are gifted in predominantly one of the spirits of God, if you can put it that way. Not that we don't have the others, but I'm going to say the way I understood it is that they are undeveloped to the degree that the ones that we are gifted in, they are a gift. So therefore they flow through us more easily, I guess you might say. And they flow out because it is a gift. There's a gift in that area. The other spirits of God, shall we say, just to go along with what Theo is saying there, we as individuals are not gifted in those others. But others in the body are. And so therefore it requires us to be humble and receive from our brothers and learn from our brothers and sisters in the gifts that they have. And so the body learning how to not only express freely the gift that God has given you is as important to the body as being able to receive the gifts that others freely give from the body. So I get that's kind of generally how I took the seven spirits of God, but I believe that the compilation or the complete, the all of them are within each and every one of us as we have received the Holy Spirit and been born again into, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus was the perfected one that had all of the gifts perfected. So that's whether that's right or wrong, any of that is right or wrong or whatever, that's the way I understood it and took it.
Okay, anyone else? It's something we grow in. And it's just like anything else in our walk. As we learn and go forward into the spirits are manifested in us. The closer you become to Christ, the more of them you're going to experience. The man child, when he comes, this is the Solomon wisdom that he's going to have. He's going to have 100% wisdom, just like Jesus. And he'll have all of the spirits working in him, as you were talking about. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay, good. But yeah, that's exactly right, Pat. It's something that we grow into and walk into. Some quicker than others, depending on how much time you can devote to getting closer to the Lord. How much time you, quality time I'm talking about, that you devote to your personal relationship to the Lord. Yeah, Phil, go ahead. Go ahead, Phil.
So, the seven spirits of God are not the Holy Spirit, or they are within the Holy Spirit, or I'm not sure. Because there's the Holy Spirit, and then there's the seven spirits of God. And the Spirit of the Lord is one of them. But that's not the Holy Spirit, right?
Well, the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Let's see what Andrew has to say. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, if you're going to look at John here, then John's getting his information from Christ and from the Lord. So we know what John says about the Spirit in 1 John chapter 5, where he says that there's the Spirit, which is a capital S, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in the one, which is God. So everything, the source is God.
Yeah.
But we have life through Jesus. And what also he says in the book of John, as we all know and quote that verse quite a bit, that the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So the spirit agrees with the water, agrees with the word, and the word sanctifies and cleanses you. So according to Paul, so, and it's all the same spirit according to all these different apostles. So whatever word you have on there, I'm sure you heard how we were taught that every word in the New Testament is the Rhema word. So that's the spirit. Also, the identification of the spirit. And the light that's in this spirit is separated from darkness. So there's a lot of collation verses that collate with it. Because if you're going to have a child of light, he has no communion with darkness. We know that verse. And the oil in the lamp that's in your temple is the Holy Spirit that feeds all these lights. And the light has to be associated with the Spirit. That's the way I look at it. Because we're children of light, not of darkness. There are proverbs that the lamp of the wicked has to be put out, but that's a different spirit. So by the context of the verse, we know what spirit it is, and we know what whether it's light or darkness. So the understanding, for instance, light or spirit would be a discerner, and we have verses about understanding too in 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. So in that context, he wants you to prove whether this is the Spirit of God or not. Because it says in the spirit of error and the spirit of truth in the same chapter. So we need to be with the spirit of truth. As even also says in greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If we are to believe that what it says in Luke 1:37, that for no word of God shall be void of power, then it's a power to cleanse us, and it's a power to keep us from worldliness. It's the power of God that does it. But we still have to acknowledge to God that we want his power to function through us, because we don't want the other power. And that's as close as I can say to you. You know, sometimes a person might have problems with some of the verses, because we're not prone to be a person under, as it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, I think, to have that spirit that we've overcome already, which is the spirit of vanity. Because vanity there would be a fornication, I think, if I got the word right there. Because, you know, all creation is subjected to vanity, but we have received the Spirit of God, and we should function in that. We should, we have the Word, which is the name called the Word of God. So when we ask for prayer, we expect God to work that out in us, to cleanse us from this. It's not that we can go out of the world. It's just that these words that are in the world, that are not of God, will give you that different name, different mark, different image, different spirit, and a different lifestyle. So there's a lot of imitation on the other stuff side. You know, you don't want to have in any form or in any way the other word. And of course, there is our rest in the Lord for all of this. So I don't know if that verifies anything, or if it just makes you, or if I'm just speaking my meditation here now or not. You know, you can, you're constantly around opposing spirits when you go to work if they're not saved. And the Lord protects you from that, I think. That's the only way I can look at it. And everything, every word, you know, if a man speaks, you get a lesson from it. Whether it's the good spirit of God or the spirit of darkness and the spirit of man, and the spirit of the flesh, which we want to overcome. And it's all by God's grace, which he offers to us very much so. And we have to depend on God for it all. He helps us to live this new life we have, that we were called into. Praise God.
Amen. Julie, did you have something?
I kind of had a question, because I was interesting. I've been reading in Revelations 2, and I read 6 5 and 6 last night, and then 1 through 4 today. And I was thinking about the seven spirits today too. I have a question though. Is the in Revelation 1 verse 20 where it says the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches and the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. So is my question is, are the seven candlesticks, is that the same as referenced as the lamps? Where is that? Pat put it in here. Let me just read it real quick. So I have to go back. Revelation 4:5, and out of the throne proceed lightnings and voices and thunders, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God.
Bingo.
Is that the, is it the same, one and the same?
Yeah.
Okay. And there was a verse, I think it, did he put that one in here too? I saw the throne.
He put
yeah, the four living
five
creatures.
And six, yeah.
Yeah, that's 5 and 6. So that's the four living creatures and the midst of the elders and the lamb standing and though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. So it's like the four living creatures are like this with all the eyes and the horns. And that's like the seven spirits too. I mean, it's all, I don't know. It's all talking about Jesus, you know, it's all talking about the Lamb of God and the light and the candlesticks and I mean, he's everything.
Well, yeah, it's the seven spirits of God. And he says, the lamb, it talks about the lamb. And of course, that's Jesus. He's talking about the Lamb of God. And to think about this, everything that Jesus has, we have access to. So yeah, we can walk in that also. It has to be, you know, the more closer you come, what's the word I'm looking for? The closer you come in relationship to the Lord, the more of these things you'll walk in. Amen. Well, simply, pretty much so. Amen. Me too. I receive them all. And you're going to see the man-child walk in everything that Jesus walked in. So if you have a question that nobody can answer, guess what? You can ask the man's out of ministry when he can. Ask Jesus now. He said to ask and ask, seek and knock. Anything you need, he'll give it to you. Yeah, Pat. But I believe we all have access to all of those seven spirits.
I guess what I was thinking as well, Cheryl posted a good verse that Isaiah 11:2. And it says, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And, I don't know if it is correct to think about these spirits as being separate, like separate entities in and of themselves, like the Holy Spirit and then the spirit of wisdom and then the spirit of knowledge and then the spirit in, you know, all the various different. I think it is one spirit of God, in my opinion, with different aspects of him, of his spirit. Because, you know, a spirit, I'm thinking, well, in reference to that Isaiah 11:2, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him and then describes what that spirit is and reveals the various different attributes of that spirit. So I'm not sure if I'm sure I don't understand, but I'm not sure that I think that the seven spirits of God are separate entities, but I feel that they're probably all one Holy Spirit in one, with different aspects being revealed. But anyway.
Yes and yes.
So I'd throw that out.
Yes and yes. They are attributes of the Holy Spirit. But how many of us walk fully in the Holy Spirit? That's what I was talking about. And when you walk fully in the Holy Spirit, well, yeah, we all do, of course, by faith. We do it. And that's another thing, Pat, and you might have alluded to that a while ago. It's all by faith. If you want to walk in it, it's by faith. And the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. We should all walk in it. But we don't have all wisdom. We don't have all understanding yet. Let me qualify that. Yeah, Julie, did you have something you wanted to interject right quick?
Yeah, just real quickly, what you were just saying, the chapters that the Lord told us we should be reading in Proverbs, it was what? All about wisdom, seeking wisdom and knowledge and understanding, right? That's what we've been studying and reading and meditating on. So.
And hopefully we'll get into it tonight, too. Yeah, this is a good subject, though, Phil. Thank you for bringing it up. Yeah, Debbie.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I just found something to share this symbolism about the seven spirits. Kind of interesting. It says the number seven is referenced more times in scripture than any other number. It is usually used to designate wilderness, It is usually used to designate wholeness or perfection. In general, either of a physical or spiritual nature. As such, it does not necessarily mean an exact number of something, as Jesus obviously has more than this low number of divine traits, characteristics, or gifts. So maybe that one verse about that we were just reading, you just mentioned, Michael, about the spirit of understanding, knowledge, and all those six things, doesn't give seven because it can't be specific with just seven. Like this just says
Well, as I said, it's the attributes of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, designating wholeness and perfection. Of God.
Yeah, you're right.
Interesting.
Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Just to add to that, it's how many fruits of the Spirit are there in chapter 5 of Galatia, the love. So that constitutes, there's an understanding in that, and there's a wisdom in that too. And we also know that there are quite a few gifts of the Spirit in three categories. We've taken that. But if you have a concordance, you can see the whole page of blessings. And you get blessings in the Spirit. And there's quite a bit of categorizing here. The last blessing that I like that's in the book of Revelation is, blessed they that wash their robes. So that's all by the Spirit. That theirs shall be the authority over the tree of life. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting. And they may enter by the gates into the city. So it almost gives you the key there to get in. And that's a wonderful blessing. And I don't know. Some people may have dreamed about going to heaven and stuff and came back to us and told us some things. And maybe that was their gate entrance in to go see stuff and help their bodies to be ready here on earth. And so, and there, you know, there's the blessings. We studied the blessings in Sermon on the Mount, all nine of them. I believe those nine there have a lot, because when you take righteousness into account, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness is a main commodity for us, because the righteous shall live by faith. And of course, life is a real main thing there, because we're not just soul, we have a living spirit also, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, about the last Adam. So there's quite a bit that has to do with the spirit. And all the word has to do with the spirit, all the New Testament. So it's really profound. It's really lovely. It's especially like the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, in his name. And of course, in his name would be the name of Jesus. And he is the name called the Word of God. So what else can we say there, you know? In 1913 of Revelation, it's referred to as the name called the Word of God. And that's, of course, where his vesture is also stained, which is another verse in Isaiah. So that's just that. Just to show that verse there that came in John chapter 6, there are the words that I speak to you, which is the Word of God, our spirit, which I believe is a capital S there. So it's a Holy Spirit and life. And our spirit is sometimes referred to as a small S, but it's the Spirit of God that we get as a small S is really from the capital S, the Holy Spirit. So, but it's not a goof in punctuation or how they do the typesetting in the Bible. They did it that way on purpose. So you really do have to read the verse to see what spirit he wants you to investigate, whether it's a good one or a bad one. And we want the good one, because goodness is the fruit of the spirit. You can almost take part a whole sentence. You can take any phrase, any scripture verse, and once you get these key words, you'd be able to take apart the whole phrase and say, well, understanding, we know that's a light of the Lord. And if it talks about the kingdom, see, the confusing part for the people who are worldly, they think they have to define all of these words just by the dictionary. And that'll give you a reference. But if you're good, you know what it means when it says hope. You know, it's assured expectation in most of the verses in the New Testament. And you know what it means when it says kingdom. You know what it means when it says peace. The world thinks peace, oh, World War II is over. We're at peace. Well, there hasn't been peace on that idea since the cross and resurrection. We know by looking at the words in places like chapter 5 of Romans, verse 1, that peace is identified differently there. And we also know that in Philippians 2:13, peace is identified different there, because this peace is a fruit of the Spirit. The in chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says the two are made one, thus making peace. And the Lord in Philippians refers to that also as, for it is God that worketh in you both, It's not that we're double-minded. You have your consciousness with Christ and you're yoked to him. And you're letting him lead in this yoke. So that's led by the Spirit. Walking in love. Walking in the light. Walking in truth. As it says, even I think in the second chapter of Colossians, walking in Jesus Christ. And it's good to be reminded of all these things because you can get attacked the other way. And you say no. Like the Lord showed me that every word spoken, every word read, every word heard, every word that pops into your head has a spirit of a bind. But God protects you. He's guarding the deposit that he gave you, which is Christ Jesus in you. And he says, no, you know what you have to do now, Andrew. You've got to cast this down. You know that you have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And of course, we don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to us because they're subject to the Lord. But we rejoice that we have a new name written in the heavens. And if you don't believe me, then you better read what it says from 2 and 5 to 2 and 10 of the second chapter of Ephesians. Because you were raised with him. You received the new life with, you know these things. And you were raised with him. You know, when he, just imagine yourself being an Ephesian there and the cross already happened. You were raised with him. That, what does that mean, you know? Does that mean you're there now in the spirit and you're seated with him in heavenly places? And I think it's because our heart and our spirit has to catch up to God and has to catch up to what the Lord wants us to be in him. And I kind of look at what's going to happen is the same way it happened to us the first time. When we get, when we receive what the Lord has in store for us in the future as a promise of the latter rain, what did we have to do to receive the former rain? I don't know. I'm just speaking off the cuff here. We're called, but what do we have to do to have our calling and election sure? And the only thing I can really think of is what I was told once is our work is to rest. And rest and if he's asking us to fear, that's a promise of entering into his rest, anyone that he might fall short of, then if you do, then what would be the Lord's next step to protect us? We're the child here. He's the Father. He's the Almighty. I'm just speaking off of what the Lord commands us, that we have to receive the kingdom of heaven as little children. You know, so some of you had little children. Some of you been around little children, you know. My mom used to iron my pajamas. Come on, I didn't even understand. Next day they were all wrinkled. So, breakfast was on the table, you know, and the bed was made. The laundry was done. I want to go back to being a child. There's a good allegory there. Who wouldn't? You know, where's my mom? You know, like, who's going to do my dusting today? You know? I don't know. Some of you might still have your mom around. Just say, hey, mom, you got to come over and do my dusting. God says so. Anyway, Almighty God and Father, the privilege to call God Father, and you can't hide anything from him. So, I don't know, like, you go to work and sometimes he can protect you without you knowing. As a child, you know, I'm sure sometimes you do things for little children in the kitchen there. You put those locks on the doors, you know, or those things. No, but they still want to open it. And they do manage to get some of those things open under the sink, you know. Anyway, I'm just talking in the form of an allegory there. Plus, he's got his angels watching you. Your angel. That's your defender and angel, you know. I sure hope mine's not twiddling his thumbs, waiting for the next thing for him to do, because I need a lot of help, you know. Not that I'm... he has to minister to me as an heir of salvation, as you have yours. I don't know what happens when we all pray at once. What would happen? What does happen, you know? And what does happen? That's supposed to be already done for us too. You know, like, I don't know what I'm saying there, but what's supposed to happen, that's supposed to be already done. Why should we not expect these things? I mean, if it's a rest. You know, I used to examine the seventh millennial day as a rest. And then there's 7 years. And now we got seven lights. They all have to be on. You got your night light on when you go to bed. I still have one in the bathroom in case I have to go at night. And so the light's on. And it's kind of spooky. Holy Ghost spooky. I don't know if that's a good thing to say. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Best I can tell you is just run after the Lord with all your heart and everything else will be worked into place. That's the best thing to do. Yeah, Theo, that's right. Receive the Holy Spirit and continue to run after the Lord, and all these other gifts will come flooding in. Amen. Monroe says, if you look at the physical menorah, it is easier to understand. All the arms make up one lamp, although they burn separately, but from one source. That's right. Yep. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Patrick.
Lord, I just want to stay here for a while. Lord, I pray against any sort of anxiety or anxiousness about this. Lord, you're our wonderful provider, and we thank you for that, Father God, for the promises that you have promised us. Excellent promises. A wonderful one about expecting things from you in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6-8. Amen, Lord, and I thank you for that. And even the verse there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. We won't be shaken, Lord, in spirit, in mind, in word, or by letter. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, with this. And we're not anxious. We expect to hear from you. We expect to have these things done. And Lord, we look to you for all things. Keep us focused, Lord. Keep me focused. Let's not be anxious, Lord. I pray. You know what it says, Lord, that we're anxious for nothing, as it says in Philippians. And we thank you for that, Lord. And lead us, guide us, and keep us, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, I'm still thinking about seven spirits there. And it's interesting, kind of by putting a few scriptures together. And it's probably saying exactly the same thing as we're saying, what Monroe said there. But in Revelation 1:4 says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And that place of before his throne is also the same in Revelation 4:5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And then in verse 7:14, he said, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they with great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And it just, as I was thinking about that, before the throne of God, we who have washed our robes in the blood of the Lamb, and the seven spirits of the churches, the seven candlesticks, etc., all of those are before the throne. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. So I don't know that I have any conclusion or anything. I just wanted to put those verses together. It kind of indicates the seven spirits are deposited in the church, being glorified with the glory of Jesus within us. So that was the only thing I wanted to say, what I was seeing.
Amen. He finally came. I had a ladybug down in my t-shirt crawling on my back. I was trying to get him out. Go ahead, Julie. Yeah. Well, it wasn't one of those Japanese beetles that was biting. He wasn't biting. He was American. Go ahead.
I thought Julie. You were just dancing in the spirit, Michael.
Well, I could have. I could have been, I guess. Go ahead, Julie.
Question. Does the verse Proverbs 20 and 27, where it says the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts, does that connect to what we were talking about in Revelation? Just what do you guys think?
What verse is that, Julie?
27.
Proverbs 20, 27.
All right. Anybody got an answer there? Yeah, Andrew.
I was just wondering if it has anything to do with 2 Corinthians 4:16, where it says, "We faint not, though our outward man is decaying, and our inward man is renewing day by day." So there's a mention there of inner parts, and in reference to what Pat said about washing, are we washing the robes, or does it happen with Ephesians 5:26? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word. And this sanctification is holiness, is it not? And aren't these the Holy Spirit, oil that goes through this lamp? And this sap that goes through our branch, is it not from the vine? And did not Jesus get the Holy Spirit in his fullness at his baptism in water? Just making a suggestion of who we actually are and how the Lord will and is needed to do this. Yeah, I like that one too, Julie. Yeah, because that comes right after all those things when we're not supposed to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, yeah. And there's a communion of light and darkness there. There's a wonderful in the 16th verse of 2 Corinthians 6 and 16 about the Father being somewhere. So that's really cool in that one. That's a real neat one there. And so that's one of those verses you have to go back to the old the chapter before to to have it fully in there, you know, I wish I could remember it all verbatim, but you know, we have a good idea what's in there. You know? I would like to know why they put a square back brackets around the word that in that verse though, in 6:16 of 2 Corinthians. I don't know if it's in every Bible, but
what's it around?
It's around the word that in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. That's the one where you're supposed to have, correct me if I'm wrong, it's an agreement with the sanctuary or with the idol. And it says that, for what agreement hath God's sanctuary with the idol? Or are you ignorant, or do you know that you're the temple of the sanctuary of the Lord and that God dwells in that temple? Somehow it says it that way over there. I can't remember what it says verbatim there. But we know it's in agreement with either the sanctuary, which we definitely want, because that's where your table is of showbread, which is the bread of God, which came down from heaven, and that's where the lamp is, according to Exodus 37, and it's also somewhere in Hebrews. And that altar that you have of prayer, an altar of grace, is before the Holy of Holies, which is the mercy seat, and mercy is a very close word to grace, and that's where the presence of the Lord is in the temple of old. So where is the presence of the Lord supposed to be now? And it does say that I will dwell in them and walk and be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, touch no unclean thing and come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I don't know if I'm saying it all right.
Yeah. But
it does say that, you know, and I'll be God to them, and they shall be my sons and daughters. And a son and a daughter is a mature one. They're not children. That's a mature verse. You know, and I guess I can work on being a son. Or God has to work it out in me. You know, surrender and total surrender. To be washed. You know, we have to be washed. You know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we didn't love our lives unto death. What does the love constitute? Obedience. There's a lot of words coming at you all day. I've seen some real terrible stuff on YouTube, but I'm not going to love that. I'm not going to obey those words. I can't. And I don't suggest anyone watch any of that. I just don't know why sometimes I do. And, you know, I just think sometimes, you know, that there are some good things to watch on there, you know, like some of the Christian stuff and some of the historical documents on Christianity. Even some of the Christian movies, at least it's supposed to be a little bit better than watching something goofy. Like you can watch Polycarp movies, and Polycarp movie that was pretty good, you know, and, I watched another movie from, I wish I could have watched it when I was, before I was saved. It was called Thin Ice. That's on a Christian movie. And they go skiing and one of the young guys gets saved there. And makes you think. As long as you apply scripture to all these movies, you know. And there's even God's Not Dead, you know. God's Not Dead too, and the wonderful movie that's War Room, you know, that was a nice prayer movie, you know. I don't know about you, when I sing or praise God with what a friend we have in Jesus, it always brings some sort of prayer in your head while you're singing it, and you know. And then I go on the internet, go see what about Fort Hope here in Ontario, where he used to live, the author of that song, and there's nothing there. Why did they cancel one of the most famous persons probably for Fort Hope, Ontario, where Scrivens used to live? You know, I go on the tourist thing and there's nothing there here in Ontario, Canada. And, you know, there's some videos on how he made that song. It was a letter originally to his mother. Can you imagine being a mom and receiving a letter like that from your son? That would be a blessing. And yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of things about the history, but we have to remain focused on Christ all the time. It's like the song says, you know, those people from People in Song, they sing a good song. You know? Everywhere you go, everywhere I be, Jesus is mine. You know, you got to take them with you, you know. And you got to recognize when you're being tempted. You have to. You have to put them down. You have to cast down those imaginations, those reasons. And you have to know that verse. You know, I didn't know that verse. Man, I got tortured a lot. You know, you don't give them any verses on how to defend themselves, man. They're going to go, wee, wee. Loopy, for sure, you know. And it makes you feel sad for, well, you're happy now because you have some defense and you know some things that you're supposed to do. But you remember the day you got saved a long time ago, you know, when I was 28 in the fall. I didn't know anything. I was like a naive Christian. I said, what's wrong with you? How come you don't trust me? You don't believe this. You know? And you go, man, you're an alien. You're foreign. You know? I still remember the guy who said I was brainwashed because I was born again. And it caught me off guard. And I go, what do you mean? You know, went and told the guy who witnessed to me. And he said, well, what's wrong with being brainwashed, Andrew? And I said, yeah. And then I asked the Lord, Lord, how come, what's wrong with him? Oh, he's brainwashed too. He's got dirty water. So he answered me. When you're a young Christian, he really answers like God. Especially when you're around all the world and stuff. And you don't, you know, he even protects you. And then you feel sorry for the guy that he had to go through that because he was picking on you at work. And anyway, that's another story. Praise God. Glory to God. You got to pray for these people, you know, that don't know the Lord.
Amen.
When the Lord defends you from some of them, you have to. Like, if they're just work colleagues, they're not really saved people. You have to pray for them and hope that someone confides in them and gives them the gospel. Of course, it's only God doing it all anyway. That makes you wonder, you know, how he does it. You know, he could be saving like 3 or 4 people around the world all at once. Or just a whole group of them, you know, like he did. Like how many there in the book of Acts at once? Just like that. Anyway, he's an almighty God. And we can call him Father. So, if Jesus said so. I hope you know the Lord's Prayer. Because they don't, I don't think they really teach that in the school anymore.
No, we learned that in elementary school.
Yeah. I don't even know if they say it in the PA system in high school anymore. They did at my high school.
No, they just text you. Oh, boy. You know, back in the 80s, I saw a TV show, and this is just a side note. I saw a TV show that, boy, it really caught my eye and made me want to come to the Lord. And I went to the church, the denomination that I was went in when I was a child and growing up with mother and dad. And I went into that church and I said, you know, I said, I saw this show on TV and I think I'm born again now. What do I do now? And the pastor asked me, he says, you're born again. What does that mean? And I just turned around and walked out. I said, my goodness, if he don't know, I'm in the wrong place. And I went back out and it took another 20 years. Because, you know, I just got discouraged. I said, well, if he doesn't know, preacher doesn't know, how in the world am I going to find out? We have those kind of preachers all over. They're not preachers. I don't know how I got on that, but anyway, I just, you brought up something, you said something that triggered it, Andrew. I'm going to blame it on you. Joe, did you have something you wanted to share?
I can just add that in 2 Peter 1:19, and Julie can read that. I can't read it now. That's but talk about the lamp is a lamp shining in a dark place. 2 Peter 1:19. But lamp shining in a dark place, that's for the Spirit of the Lord that's shining, and a dark place is your soul.
I'm sorry, do you want me to read it? What was the verse?
2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19.
And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts.
Yeah, but dark place is your soul, and that's the... The morning star is your, the sun. Sun, S-U-N or S-O-N, shining in a dark place. It's the sun as well. That's what I was thinking. Then I'm sure that out. That's all I want to say. Thanks.
What do you say, Julie?
Yeah, that's the lamp shining in the dark place, which is the Lord, the Word of God, right? Yeah. Is that what you meant, yeah. Joe? Kind of connecting what we were reading in Revelation. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
No, I just like to add something there because when he said that, it wasn't printed yet. Okay, so, you know, we can read it and read it and read it and look at it right there because we know it's there. But did they fully understand their testimony back then? Seeing as Peter said it, but did they really understand that glory to the way we would understand it, to what we're discussing here now. Because, you know, in John chapter 1, it talks about in him was life, and this life is the light of men. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. That's the verse there. And there's a dark place there too, you know. So we're supposed to be witnesses too. So I'm just throwing that in.
Yeah.
Like we want the light in us, but we have the light in us. What our light is going to do is burn more brightly, because it says so in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, from star to moon to sun glory. So, and I think each star differs in glory too. So, and you know, I even think the moon differs in glory too, because it's not always a full moon, is it? I'm just speculating here on that. Praise God. But the moon is still reflecting the sun, whether it be a quarter moon, a half moon, three quarters, or a full moon. So there's different moon glories, I think. Like we even got one there on top of a mountain there. I think it's an orange moon. Anyway, praise God and to be dead to self. Dead to self. And reflecting the Word of God. In behavior especially.
Yeah, Pat.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that verse. That verse in 2 Thessalonians 1:10 says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. And when Andrew mentioned something about, and this wasn't even written, I think the verses in, you know, when Peter was talking about a more sure word of prophecy, yet that more sure word of prophecy that we depend upon in the New Testament, or New Covenant, wasn't even written, like what Andrew was saying, wasn't even written yet. So I think a lot of what they said, Paul said, was from the Spirit, that he knew that this was going to take a greater effect in the end days. Whether or not they realized that was a few thousand years away or what, I don't know. But obviously God did. Because of that, the words in, you know, the writings here in the New Covenant and all that the apostles wrote are in two, I guess I'm trying to think, in two forms, two representations. I don't know. What I'm thinking of is Jesus came to us and he demonstrated and represented the good news of God in two forms. In the form of perfection, Jesus is our example of the perfection, but also he was representing or displaying the seed, because the words he knew that he was, shall we say, he was the goal, but he was also the seed of something larger that will come. The kingdom, the larger kingdom, the church that we see in, represented or displayed in the scripture, the New Covenant writings, is also a seed form. It's in seed. It's in its infancy. It's in its baby stage. And we get the opportunity to see the baby steps and the growing, the birthing in Acts, and the growing and what it took to birth it up to that point in the ministry of Jesus through the four gospels, etc. And those were the seeds and the birthing process and the baby in infant stages. And we're to, and I'm going to say that Christianity in all its various different, as it got scattered out into the earth, those seeds went out into all of the earth and they nurtured and they grew and some became strong and grew up, etc. And, but they're all still in their growing stages. And unfortunately, or fortunately, however, God knew it was going to happen and planned it. They all separated and become diverse, or I don't know. We're talking about the seven spirits of God here. Maybe those seven spirits went out into the world and grew and matured and did what they needed to do in those sections, in that aspect of the earth. And in this last day, God is calling it all back into one. And I don't know. It just seems like I just got the picture of Jesus being the perfection, the end result, or the, is it the Omega? And also the seed form of this package, that this body or this kingdom is also the seed or the Alpha. I guess that's what it would be, Alpha and Omega. So in many ways, the scripture, the apostles in writing these things, though many of those things are over our head, it also takes the time that we are in to be able to put them, in context of what God was doing for the full kingdom, or for the final product, shall we say. So I don't know if that's babbling or not, but that was what I was thinking.
Okay. Sound good to me. But yeah. All right. Anybody else? I'm the seven spirits. Seven doodads. Seven spirits of it all goes down to what we talked about earlier. Just seek the Lord. It'll come. What is that? We are brainwashed about what? What is that? So sad. Missy's sad because Judy's brainwashed. Is that right?
No, I was making reference to Andrew saying that he was being told by some guys, like, you Christians, you're all brainwashed, because he said he was born again. I said, amen, we're all brainwashed. Renewing of our mind.
Amen.
We've all been brainwashed clean.
That's right.
You know, I sat down after that when he called, you know, he called me. You're not one of them born agains, are you? You're brainwashed. And then I went back in the corner and sat down and I said, I just got a verification from God who I am, from an unbeliever.
Oh,
and
my.
That was like comforting when you actually knew in the Lord. You know, sometimes you might doubt, and he just verified it there. And it's a nice time.
That's awesome. Yeah, he can use the devil to preach to you, huh? Confirm the message to you. Oh my, yeah, Missy.
And I said, so sad. That was my comment to what you shared about the preacher said, what's born again?
Oh.
And just that whole thing you shared.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was an eye-opener for me. All right, anybody else? Patrick, go ahead.
I got a question. But I want to read a scripture first. I'm have been thinking on kind of going along with, what the Lord, what has the Lord's been saying tonight, in that, in this, process of born again, sanctification, moving through our personal wilderness, entering into the promised land, is I believe a process, or the process that God is using to, restore our personal volition, or our personal will, into a right standing, or a right position with Him. And I guess how I, because He created us in Genesis 1, He created us and gave us dominion, and Jesus gave us authority to execute in order to establish that dominion. And on the personal level, it has, I think it has to do with God is restoring our personal will to be able to worship Him with our own volition, as opposed to being pressured or under some sort of control or manipulation to do so. So therefore, it is, I believe it is of primary importance to God to preserve, develop, and strengthen our personal will in this relationship that we have with Him. That being said, I was reading this scripture today, and I thought it was kind of interesting, but this is what came out of it for me based upon what I've just said. In John 9:3, it's this situation where Jesus is coming along, and he discovers this man that what passes by this man that was blind. And he was blind from birth, and the disciples asked him, who sinned? Was it this man, or was it his parents that sinned that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, verse 3, neither did this man sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. When I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then in verse 6, it says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle and anointed his eyes with clay and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went away, therefore, and washed and came to seeing. The rest of that chapter related to that, maybe my answer is in there, but the thought that came to me at the time I read that is, it doesn't appear to be evident anywhere in those verses that Jesus actually gained consent or agreement or anything with this blind man. And usually when, well, so I'll just leave it at that. But he didn't gain any kind of agreement with him to pray for him or to cast anything out or to be healed, etc. Jesus simply did it. Grabbed the spit on the ground, wiped up, you know, made mud, shoved it in his eyes, and said, go wash. I guess my question was, in this healing, in the healings or the healings that we pray for or command, we're usually asking for agreement of some form, are we not? And isn't that one of the necessary ingredients for a person to receive healing? Yet, Jesus demonstrated it here, in at least in these verses, that he didn't even require it, that healing did not require that person to be receiving, consenting, or anything. I'm not sure that I have a question there. I have an observation that kind of goes against what I was believing or thinking, is that in order for a person to be healed, you have to gain a consent or an agreement. Is that true?
No. Did Lazarus have to have an agreement with the Lord when he came out the grave?
True. That's correct.
Yeah. And this guy here, the reason that Jesus healed like he did, it says he had compassion. He had compassion on all of these people that were messed up. A couple of times it said he had compassion and healed them all. How many of them you think had faith? Faith to do what? That first one that he prayed for, how many do you think that knew that he was going to heal him? What I'm saying is this, it's your faith. When you go, you know that you're going to go pray for somebody, it's your faith that requires them to get healed. I've seen pastors turn away people because they made some kind of stupid statement about their faith, you know, when you should have just grabbed it and said, well, I've got enough faith for both of us, so let's just go ahead and get this done. That's what Lake did. How many times? I'm not saying he's the pattern. Jesus is the pattern. You saw right there that the guy didn't have to have faith. He didn't know what was going on. You know? Yeah, Julie.
Is that, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Is that a principle that can be conveyed, depended upon in other forms of, instead of healing, casting out demons, or, you know, the whole thing?
Well, casting out demons. who you talking to, the demon or the guy? If you're talking to the demon, he's going to say, no, I don't want you praying for me. So what you do is you go ahead and free him up. Then ask him, tell him now to keep this. I'm just telling you what I know. To keep this, get in the Word of God, or else seven more worse than that last one are going to come upon you. And give them an incentive to come to Jesus and stay free. Because I can tell you something by my experience. I've seen people have been bound up that couldn't hardly manage come free. And when they got free, they wanted to know who did it. And they were so ecstatic that they didn't have that demon on them, holding them down, keeping them in bondage, that they ran to Jesus. Now, I know what the teachings are out there. There's all kinds of teachings on what you should, what are the hindrances to healing. There are seven different hindrances to healing, when in fact, the Word of God has only two hindrances to healing. Anybody know what they are? What did Jesus say they were? He said there was two ways. Yeah, Julie?
I would guess the first one would be, sin of unbelief.
Yep.
And because he said, he could do no mighty, in his own hometown, he could not do very many mighty works there because they didn't believe him.
Yep.
And I guess the other one would be, I don't know, they weren't of the covenant, they're not of the covenant or something, but I'm not even sure that's true.
That's not. Jesus said it was this. It says doubt, non-belief, and traditions of man.
Traditions.
That was the second one. He had two hindrances to healing, was doubt, non-belief, and hindrances, traditions of man would keep him from it.
It all passed away with the disciples.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I saw one lady that was healed of cancer, went back to the Baptist church she was in, died a few months later. She was completely healed of terminal cancer. Went back in there and let that pastor talk her out of it. Or whoever it was. I don't know who it was. In a church that didn't believe in healing. David tells stories about that too. Tell a story about a lady that was blind, I think. Yeah, Missy.
What about the verse in James 5:16? Confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed.
Yeah.
The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. So it seems to me that if you're not repentant and confessing your sins, that you won't be healed, because it says confess your sins that you may be healed.
Yeah. Well, I can only tell you what I know. And I know I prayed for people that weren't even Christians and got healed and told them afterwards, you must go back, you must come to the Lord in order to keep your healing. So how do you answer that?
I think, well, this I think, though, is talking strictly to Christians here.
Yeah.
So we're, I guess you could say, held to a higher standard.
People that are in the Pentecostal churches that believe in healing and all of that, I can tell you this for a fact. The people on the street get healed quicker than the people in the churches.
I know. Because him that knows to do with it not to him is sin.
Yeah. Yep, that's what. I've had people, well, we won't even go into all of that, but I do know, just like Lake did, when that guy came up, he said, I'm a Catholic. I'm a good Catholic. I don't, he says, what was it all he said? He said, I don't believe in healing, but I come up here. He was crippled or something bad wrong with his legs. And he said, I don't believe in this. I don't believe that God can heal me, but what can you do for me? And Lake just took his crutch, held him up, took his crutch, started talking to him, and just holding him, and the power of God out of him went into that man, and the man didn't even know he was healed until he said, well, I've got to go, and he turned around and walked off, not with his crutches, but walked off, and Lake hollered at him and said, well, what about this? He held up his crutches, and the guy said, oh, to hell with it. And Lake said, yes, exactly, exactly. Took him away. So how do you, it's your faith primarily that gets people healed. And you're right. If everybody's believing, I can tell you this much, in a setting, a fellowship setting, if one person gets healed of something dramatic thing, the whole place is going to get healed because their faith rose up to a point to where, hey, if she can get it or he can get it, I can get it. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's in a church. I did that in a missionary Baptist church of all places. They're about as fundamental as you can get, you know, and I use that term negatively. And I said, the old lady came up there, and well, the pastor was a friend of mine. He'd been out on the streets with me, and he'd seen, you know, the things that we do. And he told me he was opening up a new church. I went over there, and he wanted me to come up there on the platform. I said, no, I'm okay back here in the back. This was a black church. And the old lady came up there. I asked him, I said, you want me to pray? He said, yeah, you pray. And so I asked him if anybody need prayer. This old lady, yeah, I said, my back's hurting me so bad. So she come waddling up there. God healed her, and boy, the place went ballistic. And everybody in there got healed in a church that didn't believe in healing. And the pastor was okay with it. He wanted the best that God could give him. In other cases, you can't get nothing done. It feels like swimming in a mud hole. You know. Go ahead, Julie.
Just kind of getting back to what you were talking about, how Jesus healed in the Gospels. Yes. I always, when I started reading about all that and really was questioning, like, why isn't God healing? This is, you know, early on, and I was still going to the church then, but it's like, I started marking my Bible, all the places where Jesus healed somebody, whatever. Right. And I saw there were times where, you know, he healed people because they came to him wanting it, you know, and obviously it's like they were hurting people and he did that. And he, like you said, Michael, is because he had compassion on them and stuff. And then the other times I noticed that he was healing people, you know, he saw their faith. And then there were other times where, you know, like the paraplegic, you know, where there's four friends brought him in there and he saw their faith and he, you know, forgave him of his sins and he healed him. And then other times, like the one that's come into my mind is when he was in the, I don't know, the temple or synagogue, and there was a man in there with a withered hand. He was just there. But, yeah, you know, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and was addressing them about the law. Is it good? Is it lawful? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, and, you know, or to do good, or to, you know, on the Sabbath or something like that. And they were silent. So he was like looking at him like just angry, right? And he you know, pointed at the man with the withered hand. He says, stretch forth your hand, you know, and he healed him. And he was just there. He didn't come there. I mean, who knows why he was there, but God used that as an example about, it's not about the law. It's not about what's right on the Sabbath and stuff. And well, anyhow, I just, like, there's different scenarios, but you're like the blind man, you know, crying out to Jesus, you know, son of David. They knew him as son of David. Have mercy on me, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they called out the more, you know? And then he stopped and, you know, Jesus called them too. It's like, what do you want me to do for you? You know? So there's always some kind of, I mean, it was never a cut and, you know, a cookie cutter way, that, no. You know, that Jesus did anything.
Uh-uh. Uh-uh. Now, what about the guy at the side of the pool? Couldn't get nobody to throw him in. He didn't have a clue what Jesus wanted, you know? He said, well, get up.
There for,
get your belt up and get out of here.
Right.
You're healed, boy.
Anyhow, thank you, Lord. Yeah, he wants to heal. And the covenant people, Jesus. And the covenant people, that's our inheritance. That's our you know, because of Jesus' blood, he gave that to us. Praise God.
What did he tell us to do? What was one of the last things Jesus told us to do?
Heal Mark the sick, 16, raise the dead. Says, go for it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Cast out demons.
Amen.
Lay the hands on the sick and they shall recover. Yeah. And okay, one other thing, and I know it's time to go. I know it's time to go, but one other thing that was coming to my mind when Missy was quoting that verse there about, you know, praying and confessing your sins. I think part of that is, you know, if you know that you've sinned, you know, you want a clean conscience. So the devil can't condemn you, and you can have faith.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the best way to do it. That's the best way to do it. What Missy said is the best way to do it. Go ahead and confess your sin. I've seen people get healed when they got salvation. Same thing. You know, it's awesome. It's awesome. We're going to see some stuff coming up here shortly. If not every one of you, I'll be surprised. You're going to see some stuff that's been taught that it's just going to blow your mind because you're going to see it. You know, not everything's going to be like you think it's going to be. And I'm not coming against anything. I'm just telling you what I know from experience about healing and deliverance. Okay. Looks like we're out of time. Well, glory to God. Y'all be blessed. See you later. See you, what is today? See you Thursday night. Hey, I think we're on Proverbs 16, or in it, 116. See, I had it marked.
Michael, we have praise and, Michael, I think we have praise and worship on Thursday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we do. Okay. I do want to get back into Proverbs, though, at some point in time. Those are good. We got some good stuff coming up in chapter 2, 3, and 4. All right. Bless y'all.